Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 1, especially these words. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So far, text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we get so near to Christmas, it's a reminder that these readings are all about him. Who? Not Ahaz, that wicked king in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 7. That faithless king was told by God to ask for a sign, and he did not believe in God. He knew that God could not do anything, and so he said no. I won't ask for a sign. I refuse. Refuse. And so God gave that wicked king a sign anyways. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. It's not about Ahaz. It's not about Joseph either, that righteous man. He was looking out for his wife even before they were officially married. He realized what was going on. Mary's pregnant. It's not his kid. And so he wants to divorce her quietly, that she's not exposed to shame, not ostracized from the community, not embarrassed, not making her life more difficult than it had to be. Not about Joseph, even though the angel appears to Joseph in a dream and tells him to marry Mary and call that baby's name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this to fulfill what Isaiah said, you'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. It's not about Joseph, even though Joseph figures prominently in this narrative. It's not about Joseph. It's not about Paul either. We hear from Paul in Romans in our epistle reading, servant of Christ Jesus, a slave of Christ Jesus, and called to be an apostle, set apart by the gospel of God. Paul was an amazing man, wasn't he? But it's not about him. He was a persecutor of the Christian church, throwing Christians into jail, and then on the way to do exactly that, he met Jesus. And his whole life was turned upside down. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? From then on, Saul was Paul, and he became a slave, a servant, an apostle of Jesus, set apart for the grace of God, for the gospel of God. It's not about Paul either. You know exactly who all these readings are about, don't you? They're about him, about the one the entire season is about, the entire church year is about, our entire lives revolve around. It's all about the Emmanuel, the one promised to that wicked king, the one going to be born so soon to Mary, whose guardian would be Joseph, the one who changed Paul's life around. It's all about the Emmanuel. It's all about God with us. Indeed, indeed, it's all about Jesus. Here we have Jesus in all of these readings, the one promised so long ago, the virgin would conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, the one who was coming so soon, as Mary conceived, as Joseph deliberated what to do. It's all about that baby, that child. But why? Why are all these readings about that one? It's all for sinners. for people like Ahaz and Joseph and Paul. For sinners, this one, this God with us, comes. For us, we're under the law of God and surely deserve nothing but punishment. Just like Ahaz. Joseph, that righteous man, but without the grace of God, he would have been condemned. And Paul, without the Emmanuel, what would he have been? A persecutor of the Christian church. And us, without the Emmanuel, what would we be? Sinful, through and through. As we enter into this ending time of Advent and begin Christmas with great joy, as we lit the love candle this morning, it's a reminder of why. For the love of God, the love which he showers upon us, that he would send forth his Son, descended from David according to the flesh, and true God. The one who was there talking to Ahaz, promising. The one who would be born of Mary and take on flesh. That one becomes for you, for a sinner like you. So what should we do? Repent. In this penitential season of Advent, we repent of our sins. We realize, as Paul, as Joseph, that we indeed are sinful. We do the one thing that Ahaz would not do. We repent and turn to God, seeking God to save us. And in his love, he does exactly that. The Father, at just the right time, sends forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law for us who live under that law, who by our sins are as guilty as Saul persecuting the church. We surely deserve nothing but punishment. And yet for us, God comes. He takes on flesh. He's born. He lives and grows. He speaks parables and works miracles, and he travels on to the cross for us. It wasn't enough that the Virgin would just conceive and bear a son. No, that son, that Emmanuel, that God with us must die for us. And he does. Upon that cross, Jesus, true God, true man, offers his life for sinners like us. But that's not all. He comes to us as he came to Saul on that Damascus road. He comes to us full of grace and love to forgive our sins through baptism, to wash them all away, to grant us new life in him. Why? Because the Father loves us. Jesus comes to you again this day through word and supper to forgive your sins and grant you grace upon grace. Jesus comes to you to make you as righteous as Joseph, that you would hear the word of God, that great good news, and rejoice as Joseph did. That you would be affected as Paul was. That you would know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, true God and true man, born for you, suffered for you, died for you, rose for you. Why? Because he loves you. In his name, amen.